Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, if only there's something to talk about. I don't know what we're going to do today. Huh? Maybe play some music or something. Tim Wildman here. Thanks for joining us on American Family Radio. The show you're listening to is called Today's Issues. I am Tim with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Good morning.
We thank you for listening, folks. Stay afar. Ed, if listeners want to join us via video and see why we didn't make the GQ magazine cover.
That's right.
What can they do?
Well, they can go to
just to see what our wives are left with for the last 20 or 30 years of our life, Lord willing. Show them what they can do. Tell them what they can do.
And I tell my wife, it's all downhill from here. So,
you had the best of me.
Yeah, that's right. You can go to Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues and click through. And you can watch us do this radio show on video, the wonders of the internet.
None of the three of us are big on fashion either, I can see, with our winter pullovers. Yeah. Fred, how you doing, Brother Fred?
I'm enjoying the balmy weather.
the balmy weather. Yes, we're experiencing. It got down to 35, I think, where we live here in Tupelo, Mississippi last night, but
it was supposed to get to, you know, my phone said like 33, so my wife was saying, well, what do we do with like the water? And I'm just super cautious.
Yeah.
So November 2nd, I was dripping the water.
Oh, we're
just starting that long, dark, wintry trek.
You sound like a Biden campaign theme. The long, dark winter.
The long, dark winter ahead. That's right.
That's what he left us with.
Open the cabinet doors underneath the kitchen. Yeah. Sink. And
I got to ask you one question before we jump into the news, Fred. Having grown up in Nova Scotia, right?
Yes.
What would be the temperature there today?
Just a few degrees actually cooler than what we experienced here this morning. So yeah, kind
is
of.
Is that because it's coastal?
It's coastal. There's a tropical stream that comes up very close to the coast of Nova Scotia. And that kind of keeps the temperatures moderate.
Right.
But
so even though it's north of, let's say, Minnesota, it's probably not as cold, man, typically.
Quite as cold. That Gulf Stream, as they call it, keeps it a bit warmer.
See, right there, there is a benefit of the South right there, the Gulf Stream.
Yep.
You know, we're always used as the butt of jokes for the nation, the South.
Right.
People always say, if something happens bad in their life, they'll say, well, it all went
south.
South.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always resented that as a Southerner. Why are we always, you know what I'm saying? Why do you always use our region of the country to say things went negative?
Why didn't things go north?
What? Go north.
Right.
Yeah, north is positive.
Yeah.
But there you go. The Gulf Stream comes up from the Gulf of Mexico, I guess, or Atlantic Coast, and makes Nova Scotia nice.
Yes.
Weather-wise, most of the year.
Yes.
All right, that's moving on now to
the
next topic. That's the weather report for today. Fred?
From geography to politics.
Yeah.
Here and we it's go. Almost finally here.
Yeah. Almost. We're talking now 13 hours away from Election Day in that little community, Northern Maine, that pride themselves voting at midnight. That'll be the first result tomorrow night. And, of course, we'll be here election night starting at 6 o'clock Central. And that, we pick that time because that's when the polls start closing in places like Florida and some of the
Eastern time zone
states. So going to be exciting as soon as we open up the microphones.
Do most states in the Eastern time zone close at 8 or 7 local time?
7 o'clock local time, certainly for Florida and several other states.
Okay. So an hour or so after that, you'll start getting some results.
Yeah, I actually think you'll start to get results in the first half hour from 6 to 6:30 Central. You'll start to get some results then. Don't forget.
Not from Broward County, you won't.
No. Hang on for that.
Yeah.
And get the complication of Florida because you got two time zones there up in the Panhandle a little bit later.
Right.
But, you know, I have to announce this morning the Associated Press on this, the last hours before the election day, they have an honest headline, okay? Campaigns draw to a close with U.S. facing a crossroads. And, wow, that is right.
Whose headline is that?
That's the Associated Press.
Okay.
Now, the rest of the story I had to change because it was so biased.
You had to change it just to make it neutral.
Just to make it neutral is right. But it is. It's at a crossroads. And I tell you what, today, I'm calling it the Ever-Ready Bunny, I guess, is the president. You know, he was at a rally in Florida last night that went into this morning. Like, it broke up around 1 o'clock this morning. So he stayed overnight there, and he just got on a plane a half hour ago, and insane. Now is heading up to Fayetteville, North Carolina, for the first of 5 rallies today.
If how is that possible?
Well, I'll tell you how it's possible, and I'm going to start following his lead. I'm going to start eating Big Macs because apparently that's how you do it. The special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles. Onions on a sesame seed bun.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you're right. He is famous for his fast food fetish.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know, I think it has something to do with his genes. Has to.
Yeah.
Because this is not human to do what he's doing in terms of the travel and so forth. I know.
At like 74. He's 74, right?
Is that? Yeah,
74. He's 74 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for him, 74 is an 54 is a new 74, or yeah. Vice versa. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, whatever happens tomorrow, whether President Trump wins or loses, as I said last week, you know, the old sports expression, they left everything on the field.
Right.
Well, he's leaving everything on the field because he's traveling all over the country. He's asking for, you know, and he's campaigning for every vote he can get.
Right.
To get another term in office. And as opposed to former Vice President Biden, who has a very minimal travel schedule and has had for the last couple of months, as we've said here, politically speaking, it's clear that the Biden campaign wants to keep him off the campaign trail to limit the gaffes. Would be one major reason.
Yeah, and that hasn't been very successful, as we'll see during the rest of the show. But I will say this, the former vice president has upped his game a little bit here in the last week or two, but I think that was because they were getting a lot of reports that people were not happy with him not showing up while President Trump was just hammering it.
Outworking him 10 to 1.
Yes.
And I think you're right. You mean he has got out and done a few events where he wasn't doing any hardly.
And, you know, making a speech before 7 cars, that's not bad, you know?
Yeah, 7 cars. Who was it that said and 6 of the cars were his staff that rented them?
Rent cars. I think that was Mark Stein on Tucker Carlson, but I think that's who it was. But
that
was a pretty funny line.
If physical show-up ability, if that's what you want to call it, is any sign, and I think it is, of enthusiasm. The Trump voters are very excited and enthused and support their guy. I think Biden is just getting the support of anybody who doesn't like President Trump.
Right.
Basically, it's going to come down. It's a referendum tomorrow nationally on the leadership, the presidency of Donald Trump is what it is. And Fred?
Speaking of crossroads, that was kind of the theme of President Trump's addresses on the weekend at the various rallies. Here's a little sample to cut number 7.
We win Florida. We win the whole thing. Our opponents want to turn America into communist Cuba or socialist Venezuela, and we're not going to let that happen. Our opponent's agenda is a war on workers, a war on faith, and a war on our police. Biden says he's running as a proud Democrat. I'm running as a proud American. Joe Biden is a globalist who spent 47 years outsourcing your jobs, opening your borders, and sacrificing American blood and treasure in endless foreign wars. They're all coming back. They're all coming home, our great soldiers.
So that was a little bit of Trump at that Florida rally yesterday. You know, it's kind of interesting when you listen, and I've been watching his rallies over the last week or so. He doesn't cheat the crowd when, even though he does multiple rallies every day, he doesn't cheat the crowd. He'll stay and he'll talk for an hour and a half at every rally. Half of it is scripted speech. The rest is Donald Trump. Here's how I feel about that issue.
Oh, you can tell because he's reading his speech that they put up on the teleprompter. And when you're making four, five, six speeches a day, you got to read them, my friend.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to try to stay on script because there's a main theme he wants to communicate, you know, that appeals to the voter. But he'll stop, ad lib, and then 3 minutes later get back to you. See how he does this, and then he'll get back to the teleprompter guy. Really has to be
on the ball.
Yes, you have to be paying attention.
And some of this is out in the cold.
Oh yes,
I mean this is tough duty to be speaking.
Wisconsin, Michigan. I mean, freezing temperatures.
Yeah.
And people lining up 5 or 6 hours before the event.
Listen, according to one report I saw last night, in the rally in Pennsylvania, one of the rallies, he's had multiple rallies in Pennsylvania, but this is like Saturday or Friday, he had 50,000+ people.
That's insane.
Yeah.
The crowds he draws.
Outside at a rally?
Yeah.
In November in Pennsylvania? I mean, I don't know what the weather was exactly. I'm sure it was cold, but
right.
I know that folks in Pennsylvania are used to cold, but still, to stand out there, because you know what you would have to go through to get there would be travel, I mean, cars, and then walking, and then standing there, and then anyway, security, and all those things. So, as I mentioned at the top of the program, the excitement level for the president among his supporters is off the charts. We'll see if that's able to help carry the day for him, especially in Pennsylvania. Now, the president, I would differ with the president on one thing. He said that if we win Florida, we win the whole thing. Mm. He's going to have to do more than that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, he would probably agree with that statement. Maybe he was just saying, hey, we got to have Florida. But anyway, the point is, yes, he has to have Florida. And he has to have North Carolina, and these are states that are, quote, swing states. I don't consider Georgia a swing state, even though a lot of people do.
Ohio.
He has to win Ohio. So those are, you know, he has to win those three states, which he won 4 years ago. But then it becomes where you go for more electoral college votes, and Pennsylvania seems to be where everybody's looking. Pennsylvania, if the president tomorrow wins those states I just mentioned, Florida, North Carolina, and Ohio, which he's either tied or favored in. Now, they're tiny margins.
Right.
Okay. And then if he were to able to pull off Pennsylvania and Arizona, then it's game over.
Yes.
Then he wins re-election.
He has to keep everything else he won in 2016, with the exception of he doesn't have to have Michigan, Wisconsin, or Minnesota. He didn't win Minnesota last time.
Right.
But Pennsylvania is the only one of those four states, and Arizona.
And Pennsylvania seems to be his best shot at winning what I call Big Ten country. I know that Ohio and Indiana and Iowa are also Big Ten country. That's a major collegiate conference there in that part of the country. So we'll see what happens, but Pennsylvania, all eyes are on Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And I was reading this morning that both the mayor and whoever the election supervisor is in Philadelphia, they said that they do not expect, they will not, probably not be done counting the mail-in votes in Philadelphia for 3 days, at least 3 days. There's 400,000 mail-in early votes that they can't start counting until Election Day. And
By state law.
And three-fourths of the early voters are registered Democrats. Now, that doesn't mean that they will vote Democrat, but the likelihood
pretty
is
good. Pretty
is
good there. Idea there.
Pretty good. So, yeah. So really, the president has to be up if that's so 400,000, 300,000 are Democrat votes, then the president has to be up by over 200,000 before they start counting Philadelphia.
And the president got a bit of a boost talking about Pennsylvania. For the first time since 1972, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, they have endorsed President Trump because of his handling of the economy. Like I say, they haven't done an endorsement since 1972.
They'll be kicked out of the newspaper association, whatever that is.
But that's the second big city in Pennsylvania.
That's the major newspaper in Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
right.
It is. It's the big one.
So that is a true battleground state, Pennsylvania. And that very well, a lot of prognosticators think that is where the election will be decided.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at the Real Clear Politics from yesterday. There's four, let's see, one, two, three, four, five polls out of Pennsylvania. And only one of them has President Trump ahead. An Insider Advantage survey, which had him up two. The others are Biden plus four, Biden plus six, Biden plus seven, Biden plus six. So Biden is favored in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And he has been for weeks.
Right, right.
In terms of polls.
He's favored in terms of polls. And again, polls are in the for what it's worth department.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I know that the polls were wrong in 2016. The pollsters say that they've adjusted their models and corrected. Fred.
Yeah.
little Kamala Harris chuckle there in a way.
I got to say, Trump is such a unicorn. I mean, in terms of politicians, he is so unusual. I would not want to be a pollster having to try to figure out how things are going to play out. Let me just say wild card rather than unicorn. He is such a wild card. It's got to be so hard, so difficult to try to figure out how to poll people when you've got Donald Trump in the race. Just a very unusual kind of individual.
Well, and I think the problem, though, for Biden, too, besides all the personality things we've talked about, the major message of Joe Biden heading into these final days is the pandemic. I mean, this weekend, he was talking once again, you elect me president, and on day one, I'm going to institute a series of national mandates, masks, distancing, and tracing. Is that a winner cut number two?
We're going to act to get COVID under control. On day one of my presidency, I'll put in action a plan I've been talking about for months, already laid out, a national mandate, mask wearing, social distancing, testing, tracing, all things. As President Obama just said, it should have and could have been put in place months and months ago.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas.
He can't do that.
I don't think that's
constitutional. No, that's not constitutional.
They don't, listen, the far left doesn't care about the Constitution.
No.
Well, you can't do that.
I agree.
Huh?
I don't see what constitutional authority. Now,
actually, quite frankly, that's scary.
Yes.
Right there. He said that before. He'll come back today and say, no, I didn't. I know. Remember, he said that about a month ago, and then he said, I think it's unconstitutional. You remember that?
Yeah.
Play that again. I want to hear what his – he said. This is a rally over the weekend?
Yes, sir.
The seven-car rally? Is that what it was? Is that what we're calling it? Yeah. Go ahead.
We're going to act to get COVID under control. On day one of my presidency, I'll put in action a plan – I've been talking about for months, already laid out, a national mandate, mask wearing, social distancing, testing, tracing, all things, as President Obama just said, that should have and could have been put in place months and months ago.
Let me tell you something. Vice President Biden is slurring his words a lot.
Yeah.
And that you can see why they've kept him inside at his home. And I'm not making fun of that.
Right.
Some of it is so funny. You, you have to make fun of it.
We will today.
And it's not meant to be personal, okay? Because we all can flub the dub, so to speak, when we speak. But what I'm saying is, he's doing this so often that it's clear that something's going on between his brain and his mouth that's causing him to slur his words.
Yeah.
A lot that a lot of people have cited. Of course, I don't think Democrats are, or let me just put it this way, the people who hate the president or want him out, maybe they don't hate him, but they want him out because they don't like him, or they don't feel like he's done a good job, especially on the COVID thing.
Right.
As I've said before, they don't care if it's a ham sandwich running against. If you got HS on the ballot and DT on the ballot, they're going with HS on the ballot because they feel
ham sandwich.
They just can't stand President Trump. Ham sandwich. So I think with a lot of people on the left, a lot of Democrats, they know what we know, what everybody knows, that as President Trump said about a year ago, Joe Biden's lost his fastball.
Yeah.
So, but I think they think if we can get President Trump, if we can get Donald Trump out of there, get Joe Biden in, and then maybe if he continues to go downhill cognitively or slide cognitively, then we just boot him out and let Harris be president.
Right.
Don't you think that's what they're thinking?
Oh, I think there's probably a lot of folks in the Democratic Party thinking that. I mean, you've already had the Bernie Sanders, AOC, that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that wing of the Democratic Party saying they are going to pressure Joe Biden to go left and institute their agenda. If he does not do that, if he plays it too cautiously, I think there will be calls for him to step down for reason or another.
Listen to cut number five, to your point. Cut number five.
I am so honored to introduce the next president of the United States, Senator Kamala Harris.
Where was that?
That's how she was introduced at one of the rallies on the weekend. Not the only time this weekend. Her husband introduced her as the next president of the United States.
Her husband?
Yeah.
Joe Biden said, Kamala's wife?
Yeah.
Her husband.
Oh, so, my goodness. I mean, we're hearing this over and over again. So it can't be just a mistake every time.
Yeah, they're not just talking about 2024 or 2028.
No.
They're talking about now.
They're implying now.
Her own husband did that, though? Wow.
We got enough time? 9 seconds?
Yeah.
Cut four.
I'm married to the next president of the United States.
That's weird.
I'm married to the next president of the United States.
Considering the fact that she polled so low when she was running for the nomination, she was the first Democrat to drop out of that big, remember that 25 candidates?
Well, Biden was 23.
Yeah.
I mean, Biden wasn't popular until everybody dropped out.
Yes. And a lot of them dropped out when it became clear Bernie Sanders had a good shot at the nomination.
Yeah.
That is weird that they're introducing her as the next president of the United States.
Yeah. Now, I will say one thing for former Vice President Biden. He is adding to the American vocabulary.
Yes.
And words, he's
a wordsmith. Literally.
He added a new word over the weekend, which Ed's got down pat.
Yes, I will say it after we come back from the break. Okay. Now, Fred, do we have this? We have this sound?
We've got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we will hear the Vice President's new word. When it comes to words, he's a conservative because he believes in putting three words together and making them one.
Yes.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
I sense that the American people have awakened in a mighty way. I sense that Christians have awakened in a mighty way. Oh, there are exceptions, but we are finally kind of taking a really deep look at what's happened to our country.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Every American ought to visit George Washington's Mount Vernon estate, south of Washington, D.C. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to be going to Mount Vernon on one of our spiritual heritage tours coming up in June and September 2021. Wanted to let you know about these tours already because they will fill up quick. So, for all the information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. We're going to be going to Yorktown, Jamestown, and Williamsburg as well on a separate trip. So much rich American history there to be experienced. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation is a nationally noted historian, and he's going to be with us along the way. SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. It was Superhero Day at Oglethorpe Point Elementary School in St. Simons, Georgia, so one child decided to dress up as his favorite Cape Crusader, President Trump. It turns out a school administrator got triggered by the costume, told the child to change back into civilian attire. In Muskegee, Oklahoma, outrage at OK Elementary School. A staff member there dressed up as President Trump, complete with a border wall. A university student caught wind of the teacher's outfit, came unglued. Virginia Weisner said Hispanic students should not be exposed to anyone dressed as President Trump. She said, and I quote, "There should be a zero tolerance policy regarding traumatizing your students." Look, folks, let's get real. If you get triggered by somebody wearing a Trump costume, you don't need to be in school. You need professional help. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Of course, tomorrow's Election Day across the country with the presidential election and also a lot of Senate seats.
Right.
Will be decided tomorrow. Will the Republicans maintain the Senate or will the Democrats take over or will they tie? The other question is there's, you know, House of Representatives, of course, every 2 years. So your House member, whoever he or she may be, is up for re-election this time, tomorrow. And then you got probably gubernatorial.
Oh, sure.
Elections and so forth and so on. So.
Yeah, this election is going to be a real bout of gaff care. That's just the way I'm viewing it.
You think, Ed?
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, let's Google that.
Okay, so set this up for us, Fred.
All right. On the weekend, Biden rally, and he is into word creation, as you gentlemen have just noted. So with the help of Tucker Carlson of Fox News, we're going to take you through Joe Biden's latest word salad, cut number 6.
Barack and I think it's a right for people to have bad health care.
Got that? It's a right for people to have bad health care. And if you don't have bad health care soon, Joe Biden will make sure that you do. That's his pledge to you. But giving every American isn't easy. Joe Biden knows that. So he's going to mobilize a pressure campaign to get it done. What kind of campaign? To get Joe Biden has thought a lot about it. Here's his solution.
Look, I'll do what he's unable to do. I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true and international effort to pressure.
Joe Biden's going to do that. Donald Trump can't do that. Donald Trump can't even pronounce. Now, if you were a closed caption writer trying to follow along,
you would see. You think he's taking a little nip before he goes out there on stage because it's so cold?
In the immortal words of Scooby-Doo, that's the two words that he's kind of created over the last week. It's a real joy to hear Joe Biden be that creative. So
I tell you what, you know,
Fred, some of the news reports said, like this one. This is from the Daily Mail. It's a British newspaper. Joe Biden confuses Michigan rally with Batagathcare comment, which is like you're sitting people again, the seven people in seven cars who are about to honk their horn. They're not sure whether to honk or not.
What on the bat? How do you pronounce
Ethel? What was that? Are we supposed to honk? Are we in favor of Batagathcare?
You know, he was out campaigning with Barack Obama on the weekend. Can you imagine Barack Obama standing off to the side and he's hearing Biden talk this way? It's got to be, I can't believe I picked that guy to be vice president.
He's just thinking himself, Tuesday can't come soon enough. If, in fact, we'll know who wins. Well, in all seriousness, listen, whoever, if Biden were to win, he becomes the leader of the free world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he becomes the head Batagathcare to head the nation. And that's saying something. Fred, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. No. We've had some not so good Batagathcares.
But Ed, you're milking it, man. You're cracking me up. I think you're about to overuse the joke.
Well, listen, if you ask my wife, that's never stopped me before.
Oh, okay.
I'll overuse it.
All right.
Listen, on the flip side of this, you know, you've got your Biden Batagathcare, but on the flip side of this, you really need to listen to his running mate Kamala Harris, and what she doesn't make those kinds of mistakes. And that's why I listen carefully to what her plan. Just before the break, we played people talking about her as the next president of the United States. You need to listen very carefully to this next cut, folks, because this is her plan for the United States. There's a reason why she was voted the most left-wing senator in Washington. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. This is cut number 9.
Equality suggests, everyone should get the same amount. The problem with that, not everybody's starting out from the same place. It's about giving people the resources and the support they need so that everyone can be on equal footing and then compete on equal footing. Equitable treatment means we all end up at the same place.
She's talking about the NBA?
They won't put her policy into place.
You're talking to white people about the NBA right there?
About playing in the NBA?
Right, and having an equal chance?
No. In fact, that was a edited version of this. Was an actual Biden-Harris campaign ad, wasn't it?
That
Fred?
Is correct.
Okay, so this is the audio from it. It was pretty lengthy. What we did not play is that she was saying that people, not everyone starts out at the same place. So even if their treatment is equal, if you started out way behind,
that's white privilege stuff.
Yeah, white privilege stuff. Then we need to make sure you start off. And so in the animated ad, political ad that went along with this, it showed the person who starts off behind being raised up so they start at the same place. Well, how do you do that? Mm. How do you, I am assuming she's talking financially at the same place and so on.
She's talking about socialism.
Yeah. Right.
That's what she's talking about. And some would say communism. That's what she's talking about. And the people who appeal to voters on the, you're being left behind because of your skin color or your economic status or your gender or whatever. I mean, they're going to I guess that works with some people, but it just seems like that's an eternal message to people to be victims. You know what I'm saying? And also, I don't know if the Biden-Harris tax plan is really going to be punitive on people making over $400,000 a year. I know that that doesn't include a lot of our listeners, but they're going to really come after the people, the job creators,
right?
And
a lot of those people, by the way. Now I can't. This is just what I've read. I'm not up on economics enough to rattle off numbers, but my understanding is a lot of those people that are in that range, a little bit over $400,000 a year, a lot of those are small business owners. And a lot of that money that they that's considered profit every year is put back into their businesses.
Yes.
So a lot of these are small business owners. These aren't just people who make a $400,000 a year paycheck.
No.
So now there'd be some of those.
Still, he's talking 60% tax rates, right, Fred? I think that's correct.
Yeah, he's talking about that. We got to remember. You know, it's kind of the fast hand goes on here with these socialists. They say, you know, for this percentage of the population, we're not going to raise your income taxes.
Right.
Please be very careful about this. Just a little example from Canada. Where they get you, they pretty well nationalize the energy industry in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where they get you is at the gas tank.
Yes.
Regardless of what your income is, folks, in Canada, you're paying between $5 and $6 a gallon of gasoline for gasoline when you pull up to the pump. That still means, regardless of your income tax, what you take home, where you spend your money, it rises, you know, exponentially.
Right.
So can imagine, folks, imagine for, you know, driving up to your place where you get your gasoline, and all of a sudden Joe Biden is saying out there, well, you know, we think, you know, fossil fuels are polluting the air, so we want to penalize the industry. So they penalize the industry. That penalty comes down to you at the gas tank. So all of a sudden you find yourself paying $5 a gallon for gasoline.
And
30% of that goes to the government.
And let me say this too, because in places like Canada, some of that at the pump is not just pass-along costs, they're actual taxes.
Yes.
That are added to the price of a gallon of gas. And by the way, that kind of thing hurts lower-income people more than it does someone who makes $1 million a year. They don't care about that extra few dollars a gallon. Yeah. Now, let me just say, I don't want to sound like I don't have compassion for people. There are a lot of people out there whose economic situation is dire. And some of that is because of this COVID and the shutdown, lockdowns, a lot of small businesses going out of business and people threatened with losing their homes, all those kind of things. Those kind of people are going to be more open to a message like you're hearing from Biden-Harris because they're desperate.
Yeah.
So that's the appeal. For example, when Joe Biden says to college kids who are $250,000 in debt because they got a college degree, hey, we're going to pay that off for you. Human nature is going to say, good, I want that deal. And that is how the Democrats piece together their election strategy, is they get a lot of people who go, man, I'm in desperate need. I'm voting for the Democrat, when all along it's impossible to pay for everything that is being promised.
Have you heard rumors out there that if Biden is elected, guess who's going to be in charge of the finances of this country?
Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, that's
the payoff for people going dropping out of the race.
His cabinet's going to be full of far lefties.
Yeah,
I could be wrong, but I think it will be. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock Central Time, by tomorrow I mean Tuesday, we will begin our coverage, our live coverage here on American Family Radio of election night. So We invite you to join us, and you can join us on the radio as you're listening to right now, or on our AFR app, or on the internet. We'll be live video streaming. So you can check us out on Facebook or YouTube as well. So that's tomorrow evening. We'll be here with our own coverage. Fred Jackson and our news team will lead us, and we'll be have a lot of great guests and add. We'll have a lot of commentary from people you know and respect. Well, I'm watching the Fox video feed, and President Trump is landing in Fayetteville, North Carolina for a rally. Mm-hmm. Today, North Carolina is considered a battleground state. And then I guess he goes on to, I guess he's going back to Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania today. You know, another thing that Vice President Biden said the other day, I don't know if we have this clip, and I was a little bit taken aback by this. Even it wasn't the fact, wasn't him making up new words or gap, making a gap. He said that he's going to end the virus. Do you have that, Brent? Do you guys know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
It wasn't like we're going to deal with this better by doing A, B, and C. Well, he did mention that last half hour. We played Biden saying he's going to implement national mandates for face mask, mm-hmm. for testing, and for something else.
Social distancing.
Contact tracing.
Yep.
Those four things. But you're saying he said, I'm going to end the virus.
Yes. He did.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up. He said he's going to end the virus. He's... Of course, that's ridiculous. Nobody, what are you going to do? Send in the National Guard,
right?
Huh? I've got the National Guard deployed right now,
82nd Airborne
to Omaha, and they are surrounding the city to keep the virus
SEAL
out.
SEAL Team 6 is on it.
Yeah,
we will end that virus.
We're going to take the virus out. You know,
but it doesn't cost anything to promise.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's just saying it, you know, and maybe some people will buy it.
Yeah,
but anybody. If you got half a brain, you know that you can't stop a virus,
right?
Altogether, so I just see if you can find this. It's Biden saying he was going to end the virus. I don't know if that was on a campaign commercial or just him speaking.
Well,
over the weekend,
technically, you could stop the transmission of a virus in its tracks. If everyone was forced to stay home. Mm-hmm. The only problem with that is that everyone can't stay home because you've got to have groceries. You've got to – all those things that we all know we need. Remember when we had the lockdown, they were saying, the medical experts, they were saying, don't go out to the store. Have someone, if you're of over a certain age, have someone bring the groceries to you. Well, you know what? People have to work in the grocery store. People have to make the deliveries to the grocery store from where their distribution centers are. They have to stop for gas. The people who go to get your groceries, they have to interact with people. They have to get gas to bring it. So you can't have a complete lockdown. You can't make the promise that you're going to get rid of the virus because you would have to absolutely, completely shut down the country. And you can't do that for 30 days without people starving. I mean, your water has to turn on, so there's got to be people working in the, you know, at the gas and water company. All those things we take for granted are going to be people interacting. You cannot promise that you're going to stop the virus.
Personally, I think the president had the right answer to this in the last debate when he said, we're just going to have to learn to live with this.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're just going to listen. I'm going to talk to you like grown-ups.
Right.
Okay. We can't get rid of it. He didn't say I'm expanding on what he said, but he said we're going to have to learn to live with it and deal with it and go on the best we can, but we can't shut down the country again.
Right.
And Biden seems to be saying, "Yo, yes, we can."
Yeah.
You know, so he says we're in for a long, dark winter, says Biden.
That was a cheery sentiment.
Maybe he thinks he's just telling us how it really is going to be.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in the next few months? Dr. Fauci says the same thing, basically. We're headed for some rough times ahead, rougher times ahead with the COVID. You're listening to Today's Issues. All right, listen, at 11:15, that is like 20 minutes from now, 25 minutes from now, Dr. Alveda King will be with us. And she is Director of Civil Rights for the Unborn for Priests for Life. She is the niece of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Right.
I say the late, civil rights icon, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's his niece, Alveda King. So she will join us. Next story, Fred.
Well, kind of along the line we were just talking about, I think one of the great mischaracters of justice and of truth during the election campaign is how the mainstream media works on the COVID-19 numbers. We really have to get that into perspective. Now, you know, we always preface the remark by saying every life lost is horrible, and the families who lose family members, our thoughts and prayers go out to them. But talk about percentages, population percentages. It is still tiny compared to the population of the United States. We're still talking far less than 1%. The media, and I mentioned this before, I go to the gym, they have CNN on. CNN, just about every night, at least when I'm watching, when I've been watching them, they give a death count.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. And unless you put it into the perspective of the total population, you start thinking this thing is just killing half of America. It's not. Not even, and we also got to gain the perspective, testing of people has increased.
Right.
Someone said, if you cut the testing back 50%, the number of new cases would also drop.
Right.
I hope people are catching on to this. There's a game being played with these numbers.
You know, what if we treated the flu like this every year?
Yes.
We have bad years. We have really bad years with the flu sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what if we had a death watch for influenza?
Right.
Every year.
Every day.
Every day. I do think the recovery rate for COVID is, by recovery, I mean no hospitalization. What is that? You guys
It's over 90%.
Well, I think it's like closer to 98.
90. That's what I say.
By I say no hospitalization, and then the death rate for COVID is 99.98 or something like that. I mean, the it's very a tiny number in terms of the people who have COVID, and those people. What, 40% of them are people who are in nursing homes, right?
Right.
I shouldn't be spouting off numbers off the top of my head like this, but I'm not exactly positive on the exact. Go ahead.
Well, this one online source, WebMD, says the early estimates predict that the overall COVID-19 recovery rate is between 97% and 99.75%.
Yeah.
Now that was back in August. I'm looking for something more updated.
I think that's still true, or even, I mean, I've known 30 people that's had COVID that know they had COVID because they got symptoms, right?
Or tested positive.
And one of those has been in the hospital. These are people I personally know. One of those 30 has been in the hospital and then went home.
Fairly quickly, if I'm thinking of the same case.
So I just think this is hyped up beyond what is really happening. And I'm talking about the hospitalization and death rate to hurt President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of it's political. If this were a Democrat in the White House and COVID had hit, CNN would not have the death count.
That's right.
On their monitor. And so, as I mentioned earlier, 40% of the deaths have been in
Nursing homes.
And then a lot of people already had pre-existing conditions or underlying health issues. That doesn't lessen the value of their life and doesn't make it any better for the family. I'm just saying you have to consider those things when you talk about the impact of the disease, what I'm saying, on the public. And when you weigh that versus what do you do to slow it down or to stop it, do you shut down the world, you know, as right. you mentioned earlier, Ed. I think Americans don't seem ready to go back to that, although Vice President Biden is suggesting that we do mm-hmm. In his comments about dealing with the COVID, with the coronavirus. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Fred.
Yeah, well, this was Biden's theme again on the weekend. It was the virus. I mean, this is the poster for his campaign, folks, is this pandemic. And calling Trump the virus. This is the same man who says, I'll bring the country together.
Right.
But here he is on the weekend. And also this morning on Fox and Friends, Kayleigh McEnany responded to that charge. Cut number one.
The truth is, to beat the virus, we first got to beat Donald Trump. He's the virus.
First, I don't know why he always shouts through his campaign speeches. That is an appalling statement. And contrary to what Joe Biden just said, this president rose to the occasion. Right now, when you look at ER visits, only 2.8% are COVID-related. We've reduced the mortality rate by 85%, created a vaccine in record time by the end of the year. Therapeutics that work, the greatest testing system in the world. That's what this president did with the novel virus. What did Joe Biden do with the swine flu? Joe Biden stopped testing, cut off testing, did not deliver a vaccine in time, and survived through the swine flu because of mere fortuity, according to his chief of staff.
So there you have it. I mean, there's the campaign slogan of Joe Biden that, you know, it's the swine flu killing America and it's all Donald Trump's fault.
Right, call him the virus.
Yeah.
And then call Donald Trump the virus.
The
you
virus,
know,
yeah.
Again, I've said it before. The left wants to say, and the media say, well, the president, President Trump, you know, he says things that aren't presidential. And then I say, well, listen, Biden's been doing that for a long time. He just maybe says it with a softer voice.
Yeah.
But he says things, too, all the time, you know, that you would say that's not presidential.
Right.
So he's calling his opponent the virus. He's the virus. Here's that Brent Creeley, our producer here, found what I was referring to earlier, where Vice President Biden says that he can, well, he's Superman, I guess. Listen to this.
Once we get our federal, state, and local governments working together, once there's universal masking, enough PPE and testing to go around, science-backed guidance to help us make the right decision, then we can get our kids back to school safely, our businesses growing, and our economy running again without wasting another minute. As I said last night, I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm not going to shut down the country. I'm going to shut down the virus.
That's impossible.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep. No, that's, you could, but again, that's what I was talking about on the economic side. You can promise people whatever you want to promise during the election, you know, during the campaign. And then if you don't deliver, then you can just go back and blame Trump.
Right.
You know?
Right, right. All right, Fred.
Very good.
We'll see you tomorrow and look forward to election night coverage with you.
Amen.
All right, we'll be back. Steve Jerdahl will be joining us in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.